Father, for God be the glory, great things he has done. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, for having drawn us and called us into this time of assembling together again. God, we are looking to you, Father. Father, we pray, O God, that we would find favor, great favor with you this day. Favor, O God, as we come equipping the saints. May each of us be equipped today. We pray, O God, that you would encourage us in our hearts and in our spirit to finish strong this race that you have and this course that you have set us on, this journey of life. May we find divine favor to reach the lost. And God, we pray, O God, in the midst of that, that new doors will be opened to each of us to minister your word. God, we pray, Father, for boldness in measures that we have not yet had before. And we thank you, O God Almighty, that you do hear the cries that have been going up throughout the ends of this earth. I cry for your presence. I cry throughout the body of Christ for your revealed presence, that we may be refreshed. We repent of every sin, God, and we cast aside every weight that so easily beset us. As we look to you this morning, may you be honored and may you be glorified in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Somebody Amen. Praise the Lord one more time. Amen. Yes. Amen. Glory to God. Thank Brother Granville for the diligent reading of the scriptures this morning. Today I want to talk this morning from the subject, we are weak vessels with explosive power. Weak vessels we are, but we have explosive power. We have the power that causes walls to fall, giants to be defeated, and armies to take flight. The power that causes dead to be raised and sick to be healed. We have that power that causes the blind to see and the lame to walk, the deaf to hear and the lost to be found. The same power that caused prison bars to be opened. It caused the oil of the widow woman to flow and to fill vessels of jar until there was no more containers. Same power it is that brought an entire nation out of bondage and parted the Red Sea and took them over as on dry land. It drowned the enemy. That same power was a pillar of cloud by night and pillar of cloud by day and fire by night, and fed them with manna from heaven and water from the rocks. It caused your life and my life to be turned around. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but somebody needs to be reminded that there's power in the blood and that with him nothing is impossible. Can you say that? With him nothing is impossible. I'm saying that because I want you to understand that you can't stay down. Why? Because he got up.
Amen.
You can never stay down. We are not been birthed to stay down. We have been birthed to rise with Christ. So you can't stay down because you got up. And somebody needs to get up in their spirit this morning.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Bless his name. Bless his name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The word as is read in 2 Corinthians 4, 1 and 10. I'm going to go over it again. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Verse 3 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Verse 5 says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Verse 7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Praise the Lord. In these verses, the Apostle Paul gives us some insights into the demands and challenges of ministry. He also gives us a good understanding of what we are up against and what is required for effectiveness. Ministry is serving, and serving is ministry. It is serving is the word that is used is diaconia, is service. And serving it is to give up ourselves in service. Ministry is giving up ourselves in service. And so the Apostle Paul walked us through some of these challenges. But he also made us to understand how we can be more effective. And all of us want to be more effective. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We want to be more effective in our prayer.
Yes.
We want to be more effective in our love. We want to be more effective in our service. We're not content because we serve a great God, and there's this power that is in us that is propelling us to want to get to another rung and another rung, and to get keep going higher and higher in the Lord. Bless the Lord. So Paul mentioned the challenges of ministry. But I like what he says. Look at verse 1. He says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, the ministry that you perform, or even said this ministry, the apostolic church in America. He says, we have, as we have received mercy, we faint not. So even though he mentions the challenges of ministry, he says, listen, we faint not. Meaning, when it says faint not, it means not to give up, not to lose heart, or not to become discouraged and spiritless, or faint-hearted, or become despondent or discouraged. Paul says, we faint not. Somebody said, we faint not.
We faint not.
That's our declaration. We faint not.
We faint.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So he says, we faint not. So if one of the, so he gives us reason why we faint, why he did not quit. First of all, he says, because of the greatness of the ministry. That's what he's saying in verse 1. Therefore, see, we have this ministry. And why I say it is, it's a great ministry? Because we have to recognize that what God has called us to do for him is a great work. Somebody bless the Lord. So whatever God gives us to do is a great work.
Yes.
I like how Nehemiah echoes that, and when they sent to him Sanballat and Geshem to come and meet with them, he sent his servant and he says, listen, I am doing a great work. Can you say that too? I am doing a great work.
I am doing a great work.
Whatever God has set you to do is a great work. So
a great work.
Nehemiah says to them, listen, I'm doing a great work. So that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? The work of God is too important. It's too great of a work to ever come down, bow down to an enemy. That all the enemy desires is to get us distracted and get us to lose hope and to faint. But Nehemiah answered them. So I want to tell you that every area that you're serving is a great work. In your prayer, you're doing a great work.
Amen.
In your witnessing, you're doing a great work.
Amen.
In singing and praising, you are what? Doing a great work. In health and support and administration, you are doing what? a great work. Colossians 3 and 17 says, and whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
So, if you are doing the work of the Lord, will you say this with me? I am doing a great work.
I am doing a great work.
Yeah, let the enemy know. Let Sanballat and Geshem and all of the enemy know. I am doing a great work.
I'm doing a great
work. The work of the Lord is important. It is a great work.
Yes, amen.
It's the greatest work that we can put our hands to.
Yes.
It's the greatest work that we can put our minds to. It's the greatest work that we have been called to.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Jesus. So his first thing is to say, listen, we are, you know, I faint not because he has given this ministry. Your service is ministry. The gathering is ministry.
Yes.
And God is looking for fruits. I like what he says in John. He says that he prunes us. Whether we're bearing fruit or not, he prunes us. When we're bearing fruit, he prunes us so that we may bear much more fruit. So he's looking for more. He's looking for great work. Hallelujah.
Great
work. The second thing reason Paul gives for not fainting, it says, because of the mercy he had received. And we too have received forgiveness from God.
Yes, sir.
A lot of us know the history of Paul that is given in Scripture. How Paul was a persecutor of the church. And he did it in ignorance. He did it out of a zeal for God, but lacking in knowledge. And God met him on Damascus Road. And so when he talks about having received mercy, he's talking about the fact that God extended compassion and forgiveness to him because of the wickedness that he was doing towards the believers. Hallelujah. And so he talks about, after he talks about what? Why he did not faint. And it's a reason to why we should not faint. We can't stay down because God got up. Jesus got up. We just came through our resurrection celebration. And we have learned that same power that raised him from the dead lives in us. So we can't stay down because he got up. So Paul mentions these two reasons why he will not faint. So there's a demand of ministry. And we're doing a great work. But there are some requirements of ministry which I don't want us to run past it. I want us to grab what he's saying in verses 2 through verse 6. Because ministry must be done in a spirit of excellence. And I want to acknowledge the excellence with which the apostolic church, you the servants of God, have conducted yourself in ministry. In the scriptures it says, Paul says, but we have renounced the evil things of dishonesty. Ministry requires honesty. Ministry requires integrity. He says, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God with deceitfully, but by manifestation of truth, commanding ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We are an open book before them. He says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Ministry also requires that the gospel is not hidden. When we serve, we must serve as those who have known Christ, have surrendered our life to Christ, that when others see us, the scripture says that they may glorify God. When they see our good works, that they may glorify God the Father. So, ministry is about making sure that the gospel is not hidden.
Yes.
Verse 5 says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus. The requirements for effective ministry is that Christ is preached. Some of you might not know this, but all of us preach. Whether we preach by word or by action or by life, all of us preach. One songwriter said, may the life that I've lived speak for me. So all of us is preaching. All of us have been called to minister. All of us have been called out of darkness to into the kingdom of God. So we have to make sure that whatever we do, that Christ is preached. And then for effective ministry, it can only be done if there's a personal conversion and that the light of God is in our heart. For he says that, for God, verse 6, commanded the light to shine out of darkness and shine in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. For effective ministry, there must be honesty, there must be integrity, there must be that the gospel is not hidden, it must be that Christ is preached, and there must be personal conversion in us, that the light of God is shining in our heart. And it's good to always do some self-check of the work you do. Questioning ourselves, have I pleased the Lord today? Where have I stumbled? Have I caused someone else to stumble? Have I been honest and been a person of integrity? Have I allowed Christ in me to minister to someone else? Have I tried to hide the gospel? Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
So Paul is talking about the challenges of ministry. But then he helps us to understand, in spite of the challenges, I have not quit. And he's helping us to understand that for ministry, there's a requirement in order for us to be effective. The scripture talks about you cannot light a candle and hide it under a bushel. It cannot be in the gospel must be preached. We should not hide it. May God grant boldness to somebody this morning to recognize that there's another level of your ministry that needs to come forth. The boldness not to be ashamed. The boldness to minister to somebody. And then also, Paul helps us to understand that, like everything else, there is opposition to the ministry. How many know that if there was no opposition, that we would tend to be lackadaisical, stagnant, and we would tend to want to just lay back? But it's good to have enemies in the ministry. It's good to have someone that is confronting us so that we don't get complacent. It's good to have an enemy that forces us to pray to God, to bend our knees, or to lay at the altar and to cry out to him. It's good to feel, to understand that there is a force that is opposing us so that our force that is in us can propel us forward in our living. So it says in verse 4, it says this, and I want you to see your position and to know who the enemy is. It says, I'm going to go back to verse 3 and then come to verse 4 where it is. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Okay? There's nothing, he's saying there's nothing wrong with the gospel. What is wrong is that those who are lost, that's where the issue is. The gospel is perfect, it's pure, it's powerful. So he's saying, it's not saying anything is wrong with the gospel, but it's hid to them that are lost. Somebody bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
So in verse 4 it says, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, The God of this world is the opposition. It's the enemy. It is Satan. The God of this world is John 10:10, call him a thief. Says the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus comes to us and says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So John calls him the thief. Peter calls him the adversary. 1 Peter 5:8. And he puts out a warning for us. He says, be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, there's your opposition, as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. While you're serving, you need to be sober. We need to be aware. He said, don't let your guard down. Stay alert. Because we have this ministry. And the ministry is a ministry of reconciliation for those of us catching up. It's a ministry of reconciliation. That's what the scripture says. We have this ministry of reconciliation. It's reconciling people back to God. Reconciliation is an accounting term of where you're doing reconciling your bank information to your general operating information. And you have to make sure that what is missing from the general account, but on the bank, that you bring those two together to make them say the same thing, to make sure that every transaction that is on your record is also recorded in the bank. And every transaction that's recorded in the bank that's not on your record, that you bring that into reconciliation in your general account. So we have this ministry of reconciliation so that every aspect of a human being's life that is out of alignment with God, we as the accountant, the person in charge, will minister to them so that their life can be reconciled back to the Father. Those who are walking in darkness, that light may shine in their hearts. Those that are in sin of all kind of abominable sin, that they may repent and come to Christ. Where they're bound by the enemy is to shine light that they may know that Jesus is an answer to their struggles and to their problems. We're reconciling back them to God. And I say we, but yet still it's not we of ourselves. So the adversary is there, and Paul warns us to be careful. And Peter warns us to be careful. Be vigilant. Stay alert. Be as a watchman, stay on guard always. Because you know that your adversary is going about seeking whom he may devour. He just wants you to let your guard down a little. But Paul warns us in Ephesians chapter 6, he says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the schemes, the plots of the devil. Hallelujah. He's explaining to us that we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. It's not human beings, it's not flesh and blood we're wrestling with. But it's against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are in a spiritual war. It's a spiritual battle that we are engaged in. So, and then Paul mentions in verse 8 to verse 10, he mentions trials and tribulations that we have gone through. Because he recognized that not only is he not quitting from ministry, and he gives us the reason why he doesn't quit, because the ministry is great that he has been given, because that he has received mercy. And then he talks about what is required for effective ministry. And he's telling us, listen, there's an adversary that is opposing ministry. And then verse 8 and 10, he tells us about the struggles that he went through, the trials and tribulation that he faced. But for this morning, I just want us to focus on this one verse 7. Because the central truth is captured in verse 7. What makes preaching both possible and effective is captured in verse 7. What makes holy living an effective life possible is captured in verse 7. What makes serving both possible and effective in any capacity in which we serve is captured in verse 7. We have this treasure. Hallelujah. The central truth, the driving force behind effective ministry is revealed in verse 7. We have this treasure.
Amen.
We have this treasure, he says, in earthen vessels. In other words, we are weak vessels with explosive power. The focus is not the vessel, but the content in the vessel. This treasure is in earthen vessels. Weak vessels. In other words, we are human. As humans, we are helpless beings. Driven and enabled by a divine power. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The vessels that we have is weak. We are humanly weak. But God has chosen, the scripture says, the weak things of this world to confirm the things which are mighty. And I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24 to 29. It says that, but unto them which are called, you and I, every single one of us who have responded to the Lord, we are called and called to action. It says, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. He said, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Says, for you see, you're calling, brethren, oh, that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God calls weak things. But he says, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confirm the wise. God has chosen the weak things, weak vessels like you and I, weak things of the world, to confirm the things which are mighty. It says, and base things of the world, and things which are despised as God chosen. Yes. And things which are not to bring to naught the things that are. Verse 29 says that no flesh, somebody say no flesh,
no flesh,
should glory in his presence. No flesh should glory in his presence. Now, one of the reasons why God uses weak vessels is so that we may depend on him. The reason why he uses weak vessels, at least one of the reasons, is that we may depend on him.
Yes, sir.
He says, call upon me and I will hear you and I will answer. So he uses weak vessels so that we may depend on him. 1 Corinthians 1:5. It says, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. In other words, that our faith would not rest in human philosophy and arguments, but our faith is rest in the power of God. Our belief is tied up into the power of God. Hallelujah. Another reason God uses weak vessels is that he may receive all the glory. God will not share his glory with anyone. I don't care how you try, God will not share his glory with you. Satan tried and God kicked him out of heaven. So God will not share his glory with any of us. He will not allow us to claim glory that belongs to him. So that's another reason God uses weak vessels. That he might receive all the glory. I praise God for this, for his wisdom. I praise God for his might. I praise God for his knowledge. And I praise God for his awesomeness. I praise God that he uses weak vessels like you and I. I praise God that he saw in us that we will surrender to him and allow him to use us so that he may receive the glory. so that he may receive the praise. I bless God because he looks at the things that man, human being would put down and would scorn and bring them out of darkness and raise them up again unto a mighty people. He says, and call us to be a holy nation before him, a royal priesthood before him. I praise God for what he's doing in your life and what he's doing in our lives. I praise God that he calls us that we may be in his hands, mighty vessels and a strong army. I praise God that today he's working on somebody's heart to remind us that he has placed this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We cannot function effectively without the power that is in us. We cannot be effective if we try to do it in our own strength. And so God, one of the reasons he uses us as weak vessels is that he may receive the glory. In Judges chapter 7, when he appeared to Gideon, Gideon was getting ready, building his army, going into battle. The Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many. He says, it's too many for me to give the Midianites into your hands, into Israel's hands. And you know, he says, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, their own hands have saved them. Saying, my own hand have saved me. That's what they were saying. He says, it's too many. I don't want Israel or my people to ever feel that they got the victory out of their own strength or their power. Because it's not by power, it's not by might, but by the Spirit of God. Don't ever feel like you get a victory because you are bright and intelligent and rich and well-learned and good-looking. None of that will help you in time of battle. God wants us to understand that the battle is not ours, it is his. And he will fight that battle for us. So he wants the glory. And he reminds us in Philippians 4 and 3 that yes, we can do all things through Christ. Because that's where our strength comes from. Hallelujah. 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 You see, ministry is teamwork. And it must be celebrated. Paul often used in his letters he often make regular mention of people who labored with him. And he likes to use that word labor. Labored with him. So as we look here, notice in these verses how he often uses the word we. Like in verse 1 he says, we have this ministry. Same with verse 1 he says, we have received mercy. Same way in verse 1, we faint not. In verse 5, he says, for we preach not ourselves. Verse 7, we have this treasure. Verse 8, we are troubled. Verse 8, we are perplexed. So he often honors and often give due honor and respect. And the accolades to those who serve alongside him and work alongside him, laboring in the ministry and laboring in the vineyard.
Yes.
And despite all of the trials and the persecution that he went through, despite the fact that he says that we are perplexed and we are troubled, yet still, He has a counter to all of that. Why the counter? Because there's this treasure in him. So we have that treasure in us too. So like Paul, we can declare some things in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We can declare that we have the victory too in the name of Jesus. So because you have the victory, I want you to declare something with me this morning. Would you declare, we are not distressed?
We are not in distress.
Will you declare, we are not in despair?
We are not in despair.
Would you declare, we are not forsaken?
We are not
forsaken. We are not forsaken.
And would you declare we are not destroyed? Why? Because we have this treasure in our earthen vessel. And when all of life issues is coming against us, when the pressures of life and when the opposition comes, from when everything from the outside comes as a pressure against our weak vessels, the inside power stands up in us and enables us to carry on, because we have this treasure in this earthen vessel, that the excellence and the power may be of God and not of us. Our weak vessels is against this power on the outside, this pressure, can withstand all of it, because the inside power of God stands up in us. The writer said that though we may grow weak and feeble, though the outward man perished, the inner man is renewed day by day, because the treasure in us never fades. Hallelujah. So you can stand, withstand the pressures that is coming against you.
Yes.
From every side, east, west, north, south, left, right, you can withstand the pressure. Not because you have your own strength, but because you have this treasure that is in you. And the treasure I'm talking about is the Holy Spirit. You have the treasure in you to be able to withstand and to be victorious. Like what Paul later declares in chapter 12. He says unto me, God said unto him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. He said, most gladly therefore I will glory in my weakness, in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. May that be our posture this morning. Paul says in verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in weaknesses, in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Hallelujah. So when you're weak, I'm here to tell you this morning, that's where you get your strength. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you this morning that you can't stay down because God got up. Jesus got up, so you can't stay down. When the pressures come around from every side, know that you have a treasure inside of you that is greater than the force on the outside. Know that when the pressure comes, you can call upon the name of Jesus. Know that when you call upon the name of Jesus, the Bible says he will hear and he will answer. Somebody ought to know this morning that God is no respecter of persons. Do not think that you are beyond God's reach. Do not think that you are unable, that God cannot use you in ministry. Do not think that your voice is not good enough. Moses had that problem, and God says, who made the tongue? Who made the ears? Who made your hands? Who gave you strength? Who woke you up? Same power that raised Jesus from the dead will raise you up also. You have a treasure in earthen vessels. Somebody is graduating to another level today in the name of Jesus. That you will know that there's an excellency of power that is in you in the name of Jesus. I'm calling you out to not doubt God. You can't come before God and doubt him. Come before and believe him. And he that believe it, God will hear in the name of Jesus. I'm decreeing and declaring to you this morning that God is able. God is more than able. God is a redeemer. God is a healer. God is a deliverer. God is faithful. God is merciful. God is mighty. God is holy. God is great. God is great. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. God is great. Hallelujah. God is great and is greatly to be praised. It's not by power. It's not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody's walking out with victory this morning. Somebody's pulling out with confidence, with boldness. May God grant to us greater boldness today in the name of Jesus. May the Spirit of God stand up in us to remind us that it is not in our strength, that we must glory in the weakness of our flesh, that he may stand up strong in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you. God, I praise you,
praise you,
that the enemy will crazy this morning, somebody is under the sound of my voice that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Hallelujah.
You have been going to church a long time, maybe from you're a child. You have been around church, and you have allowed the enemy to put that cloak over your eyes to make you feel that your soul is in good standing with God. But the Bible says, unless you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you, unless you do that, you are not saved. In the name of Jesus. So I reach out to you. May the Spirit of God that speaks to you right now shine the light in your heart that you would know. Somebody, in the name of Jesus, I become so overburdened with the cares of this life and the pressures that is from coming up against them. But I decree to you today in the name of Jesus and remind you that the Father says he has put a treasure in you. He is greater in you to be able to withstand that which opposes you in the name of Jesus. So God, I thank you for these. I thank you, O God, for your word. I thank you, Father, for the strength that you give to the weak. I thank you, O God Almighty, that Lord God, you have not forsaken any of your children. I thank you for the service that they have given. And I thank you, O God, that Lord God, you want them to recognize, to know that, Lord God, you care for them. And you appreciate the ministry that they have done, the service that they have given. Lord, and I'm responding to the call that you have placed upon their lives in the name of Jesus. I praise you, O God Almighty, that Lord, that the divine favor would flow over their lives in the name of Jesus. Open some new doors, Father. Open fresh doors, O God. Equip them, O God, in the ears where they are weak, O God. Equip them in the ears of needs, O God, in the name of Jesus. Bring them forth as a mighty army in the name of Jesus. Let your presence be so full in them that, God, even as they walk past persons, O God, Lord, your power would minister to persons, O God, that somebody would ask them in the name of Jesus, why are you so peaceful in the name of Jesus? There's a presence upon you in Jesus' mighty name. God, I thank you, O God. I praise you, my Lord and my Father, for rescuing, O God, the perishing. Give us a greater unction to serve you. Give us a greater unction to worship you. Give us a greater unction in our prayer. Lord God, all over the nations, people are crying out. They said, Lord, we want your presence. Give us your presence. But your word says in Acts that, Lord God, that when there's repentance, there's a refreshing of your presence that comes. So, Father, we repent for the sins. We repent for stubborn hearts. We repent, O Almighty God, for walking contrary. We repent, O God, for our pride. And we repent, O God, for the ears, O God, in which we have held back and not given ourselves fully. Father, I thank you for the work, and I thank you, O God, that we are victorious. We give you praise and we give you glory. In the name of Jesus, O Lord. Amen and amen. Somebody bless his name.
Hallelujah.
Come on, bless his name. Bless his name. Bless his name. Bless his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.